This is Belonging, a podcast that explores being alive in the age of loneliness. I'm your host, Becca Piastrelli, and I mentor space holders, kin keepers, and circle facilitators to be catalysts for belonging in their communities while also generously resourcing themselves at the same time. I am also a mother and land steward of a farm on the ancestral lands of the Mohican people in the present-day Hudson Valley of New York. In this podcast, I explore topics like cultivating meaningful community, seasonal and cyclical living, ritual and rites of passage, and what it means to be a good ancestor in these times. I have thought-provoking conversations with friends, teachers, and elders to help support you in reorienting your life towards a legacy of regeneration and reconnection that breathes life into future generations. I also pop in here and there to share updates and learnings from my own story, because we were meant to do this together, cosmically holding hands as we walk the spiral of life. You can expect to be challenged by new or old ideas, face your beliefs and what systems informed them, get curious and brave to tell the truth about the deeper, harder things, and feel comforted in the knowing that you don't have to navigate it all alone. For show notes and links mentioned in these episodes, and to sign up for Slow and Seasonal, my once-in-a-while email newsletter, head to BeccaPiastrelli.com. Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Belonging. It's Becca Piastrelli here, your host. Happy to be with you today and to share a lovely, powerful interview with Johanna Reimer, otherwise known as Wakeful Nature, about holding circle for and with our girls and the female-bodied youth that are in our lives, whether they are our children or our nieces or niblings, our neighbors, our friends' children. I really love this concept of the village aunties and the beacon that Johanna is holding for holding circle and providing mentorship, ceremony, rites of passage, counsel, connection work, ancestral remembering for the literal future that is living in, you know, turbulent times, times that are just look so different from when we were young, right? And so as a mother of a girl, I really wanted to talk to Johanna about, you know, her many years of expertise and what she sees and what she hears in these girls' groups as a mother who was like, okay, I'm really going to have to find the village aunties. I'm really going to have to find spaces for my girl to be in. And as someone who's just so passionate about circle and having us move towards this idea of the millionth circle, having us move towards, you know, as many circles around the world rippling out to all beings, seeing the way Johanna is doing that. So let me tell you about Johanna. She is a soul-centric educator, ceremonialist, teen mentor, and an artist of many trades. Trained as a Waldorf teacher, Johanna has been working with children of all ages for over 20 years and holds a particular passion for tweens and teens striving to meet their developmental needs for mentorship and initiation in a culture that has forgotten to do so. An apprentice of her elders and visionaries, Johanna has worked for many years as a homeschool Waldorf teacher and as an embodied leader for international youth in movement-based rites of passage with Golden Bridge and Golden Girls Global. Johanna founded Wakeful Nature and Girls Group as a means to fill the initiatory void for girls crossing the threshold of childhood into adolescence with guidance, ceremony, and community. This conversation was, as always, me being nosy and just wanting to know what it's like for her to facilitate these spaces, what wisdom she's gleaned from these spaces that she can share with us, particularly those of us who have a deep connection to a girl in our lives. We talk about the role of matriarchal leaders and how it's to guide and support youth and create a village-like environment. We talk about what pressures these girls are facing, the unprecedented levels of anxiety, the negative effects of social media. We talk about growing girls' capacity for ceremony and the ways to build trust with them, which is, unsurprisingly, through fun, how we can provide a sense of connection and support for these girls as they navigate the complexities of adolescence that you can't really escape. It's a beautiful conversation. Also, Johanna has a wonderful facilitator program coming up for anyone who's interested in holding circles and spaces specifically for girls and female-bodied youth that she'll share more about. And you can check out, as always, all the show notes at belongingpodcast.com. So let's listen in to my conversation with Johanna. Johanna Reimer, thank you so much for joining me on the Belonging Podcast, aka Wakeful Nature on Instagram. Thank you for being here.
Yes, a joy.
So we have a mutual friend, Sophia Mavridis, who used to be my photographer in California, and we've been weaving together for a while. And I remember way back in the day when I was like entering into rites of passage work and talking about ritual and writing my book, our friend Sophia was like, you really got to talk to my friend Johanna. Like, what she is doing in Colorado with girls is incredible. And then you reached out and here we're talking. So could you share a little bit about what you do with Wakeful Nature?
Yeah. So Wakeful Nature is a program I created about 10 years ago to provide girls groups for the girls in my community. And I saw that there was this initiatory void in my community and, you know, everywhere that I've lived, actually. And there's this transition. We love to mark, you know, weddings. We love to mark births. And often, you know, there's a popular thing to do is marking adulthood, which has been done for eons, but we're really missing what I see as this very important threshold for girls as they enter into adolescence, because really it's the first moment for female-bodied folks when they get their menstrual cycle. And I love to circle up with these girls and give them the guidance and a support system, a safe place to explore who they are and who they're becoming as they cross this threshold. And so Wakeful Nature has become this really sweet program in my community where girls of all different ages come and get to circle up weekly and have this support system. And now we are moving into creating trainings for these circles to exist in more communities, for matriarchal leaders and women to rise up and really start guiding and supporting the youth in this way.
Mm. Yes to that, please. I think it's beautiful that you're holding the beacon for circling with young girls. I feel like I'm holding the beacon for circling with like adult women who have lost their circling ways, you know, our relational communal ways are suffering under, you know, the amnesia of needing to go it alone. Oftentimes the initiation of becoming a mother, a parent, or going through some sort of crisis, whether it's an illness or the grief of a lost one that has you realizing, oh, wait. What's this village people like kind of like jokingly talk about? Like, oh, actually, I feel that loss. So you talked about an initiatory void. I think that phrase really resonates with me. And I'm wondering if you can talk more about, yeah, like the problem that you're trying to solve as it relates to young girls. I think particularly because I'm an aunt of a female-bodied being and the mother of a daughter. In a time where I feel like concern. I feel concern about the culture. I feel concern about social media. I feel concern about technology. I feel concern about the climate. And I'm wondering, you know, what you see in girlhood that is a result of the void.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned the village, and I think just starting there is like we are wired to be raising human beings and really creating humans in a village context. And it's a hard thing to, you know, we all like to say oh yeah, it takes a village. But I'm, as a mama as well, it's like, where is the village? And so I joke that's like, okay, you're now hiring me to be the village for your daughter. And I'm bringing in more village aunties and surrounding these girls with really what we are inherently needing. And I don't believe in, you know, this kind of patriarchal perspective of like one person can teach us it all. I hold these circles for girls, but it's not just me. It's many different voices that I like to weave in for the youth to hear, like so many different perspectives of what it means to be alive, what it means to be a human, so that they feel, you know, oh, look at this perspective. Oh, look at this. And, you know, that they feel like there's some freedom to really, first of all, explore, but also to choose how they identify. This is such a major transitionary time for them. Everything is changing. And I have yet to hear a girl say that they, at some point in adolescence, are not totally and utterly confused. You know, we're getting so many cultural messages that may or may not be aligned with what you want for your daughter. And, you know, there's complexities of the nuclear parenting system. It's like, we know it doesn't work. And it's really hard to break out of it. And so I see my work of working with girls as re-villaging work. And we're remembering how to be village aunties, how to, you know, be multi-generational and hear wisdom from all these different generational experiences and perspectives. Because there's so much rich wisdom that exists, you know, throughout the generations. And I want my girls that I work with to really get to seep in that wisdom. And so it's really about weaving village first and foremost. And, you know, as to what I see the girls experiencing right now is more and more pressure. They are carrying so many burdens that should not be theirs. There are so many messages that they get from even the education system, from media, from just the world in so many different ways. And I feel like since social media has come on, since, you know, kids at 9 years old are carrying little computers in their pockets, it's just accelerating the challenges. And so part of Girls Group is really offering a space where we can not have our phones, where we can be connected, like in real time, face to face, in a circle, but also with the earth. And so I've created a curriculum that is called Journey Through the Elements, and I'll be teaching that in my facilitator training. But it's really this ancestral remembrance. It's like working with the elements in a very slow way, being in relationship with the elements. And this is really like, you know, all of our ancestors, like as far back as we can look, it is a universally accessible spiritual connection. And so it's really how I introduce ceremony and ritual to the girls, because that's another thing that I feel like is an anecdote to the chaos and the burdens and the stress that so many youth are carrying.
A lack of ritual and ceremony.
For sure. I mean, a lot of us have forgotten how to do ritual and ceremony, but even more so connection. It's like real connection to what gives us life. And, you know, we live in a capitalist culture where we, whether we mean to or not, I mean, we are mostly teaching our children to consume. And so to provide opportunities to remember how to give back and to be in right relationship with life. And I believe that's the foundation of magic. And like, you know, we're also healing generations of women that didn't get to circle together. I tell them about the history of witches and the history of like, we would not be allowed to be doing this. This is radical. I'm goosebumps even just saying these words. It's like this, and it feels so good and nourishing to be together. And, you know, yesterday one of my girls shared, I just asked them, like, what is it that, if you even like girls group, you know, what is it that you love about girls group? And one girl said, I really love just having a safe space where I can be whoever I am. And I love getting to experience the elements because it connects me to the whole universe. And I just thought, wow, for a fifth grade girl to articulate that, like, yes. You know, such a different articulation than I would give it. But I was just so excited to hear, you know, a young girl share that, because it does, it connects us to life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. My heart is singing, listening to you talking about this. And I guess I have such a curiosity just because I come from the perspective of, like, I come from I come from the same root, taproot here of revillaging and reconnection and returning to ceremony and ritual in our gathering and the elements and just remembering we are a part of the living world and healing what our ancestors couldn't have through having it now. And I am just so curious, especially as a mom of a girl who has friends who are moms of girls. My girl is 3.5, and I have friends whose girls are like hitting that like 8 to 13 range and feeling like their girls don't want to talk to them. And that sort of like pain, like I had a conversation with my childhood best friend last night where she was like, my daughter is 8 and all of a sudden I am not cool and I don't want to talk to her and I'm freaking out. And I'm like, that is definitely going to happen to me. And so I'm wondering, how do you hold space and create circle? And when I think of circle, I think of like sharing vulnerably. I think of ritual. I think of like such sacred space. Like, how do you do that? And my hunch is it probably feels safer when mom isn't there.
Yeah, it's totally different when our primary caregivers aren't there, because again, we're being raised in nuclear systems where like there's just so much connection with one person. You know, there's cultures, where matriarchal cultures, where there's like 10 different women raising a child, where they get to go for different perspectives and different sprinklings of wisdom, you know? And so in girls group, it's like there is a long, well, first of all, I'll say that in girls group, I provide long-term mentorship circles. I really believe that what we need today is to slow things way, way down. And we need ongoing support visits taking longer and longer to really create safe spaces for young girls or youth. Yeah. You know, I specialize in working with female-bodied girls. Our culture loves really big experiences, like fast and furious is kind of the pace of the patriarchal world we live in. And so what I really see as a healing like path for, you know, more matriarchal leadership is to create long-term ongoing support. Because let me tell you, doing even a year-long program for girls, you know, what's popular is like a few months, even a weekend, you know, a week-long cool experience, rite of passage. It's like what we're really missing is the integration. And girls are needing ongoing support. All youth are needing to like come somewhere with their questions. And the way I create safe space with the girls is really through having a lot of fun. And it's like that is how we start to build trust. And I think where a lot of girls groups that leaders that I've talked to have struggled is like, maybe, you know, being a part of a women's circle and, you know, offering something that like we as adults really want and trying to give that to children. And the children are way more connected than I think we give them credit to. I think like they are naturally animus. They can go into ceremony in a really powerful way. They still haven't like forgotten a lot of the things that we as women have. And so over-spiritualizing the girls' experience in their circle, I think, is a no-go. And keeping it really light and fun. And as facilitators, it's like our job to really find the teachings. Like, I used to create like my whole entire circle plan, like down to, you know, like every 10 minutes. And, you know, I've had to really learn to flow. Like, thank you, water, for teaching me how to really let go and flow. Because you don't know what the girls are going to come with. Yesterday in my girls group, it was this big lesson on teachers at their schools not letting them go to the bathroom when they need. And I'm telling the girls all the time, listen to your body, like your body knows. So, and then they're getting this other message of actually don't listen to your body because it's inconvenient to the lesson. And so, you know, we had a whole conversation around that. And it was really potent. And the girls had a lot of venting and a lot of emotional release. And by the end, it was like, cool, we've cleared that and we could move on to, you know, our next thing. But to provide, you know, open spaces for the girls to really be questioning, complaining, sharing in any authentic way. We want them to really find their voice and being authentic and empowered to share their truth.
Mm. That was such a good little nugget of wisdom around. Well, there were a few. One, that girls are naturally animist, and when we over-spiritualize, that ain't the way. I hear that loud and clear as a mother. And that the way to access trust is through fun. And that feels like a really important understanding of, like, of life itself, I think, with our adult brains. In this overculture, we can just make things more complicated than they need to be. And I, on my own spiritual path, I've just realized like it's actually pretty simple. Like there's no huge algorithm here. It's actually pretty simple. And so how beautiful if you have the opportunity to facilitate and circle up with girls to be reminded of that. I can imagine that you are receiving the lessons and the gifts of being in space with them every time.
Yeah, it's really a gift getting to work with the youth because they carry so much fire and, you know, their inner flame is really alight and we want to keep that. And so really helping them navigate this crazy world, this overculture, you know, it's like we're all inheriting something that we don't necessarily agree with. And so, you know, I think the girls group world and the community that I'm creating here is really my service to creating the world that I want to see, you know, for all beings. And I really believe, you know, I've heard you say like the millionth circle, like you want to keep this going for the millionth circle. And I like imagine if we had these circles that women often are becoming more and more popular as children. And like, what would our world look like if, you know, we had the support that we're really wired for so young and through really some of the most challenging years of our lives? Because I don't know if there's any of us who come out of adolescence unscathed. It's like it's a really intense time of change and confusion and anxiety. You know, we were talking earlier about what girls are facing, and I would say more and more anxiety. They are carrying so much, and so much of my work has become resourcing. And going back to the elemental curriculum, it's like, how can each element resource us? And it's like tools in our pockets that the girls can then take on their journey, you know, through all of the years to come. It's like they choose which ones they put in their pocket. I offer a lot of different ones and bring in a lot of people that carry different gifts. And so I want them to have these amazing toolkits that they can, you know, pull from as anxiety creeps in or depression or comparison or, you know, all the things that we get faced with.
Mm. Oh, yeah, there's this book everyone's talking about right now called The Anxiety Generation, which is a commentary on basically this generation that's, I don't know if it's Gen Z or it's probably, yeah, the ones who were the first generation to really just be 100% on social media from the beginning. And it was like the generation that didn't have a choice because we didn't know, and now we know. And so these levels of anxiety are so high. And so now these like more official recommendations for schools are like schools now are being recommended to be phone free and social media waiting. And there's this whole program called Wait Until Eighth, which is like wait until eighth grade to let them have a social media account. And honestly, I'm very concerned, mostly because I see the impact phone addiction and social media has on me. I talk about it a lot. And I'm working through it. I just did an episode on social media for the anxiously attached. And I am really curious how you navigate that with your girls. I think, you know, the ideal is to have girls that just like wait until eighth and are totally cool with, you know, phone-free zones and maybe go to a school that's like, you know, Waldorf or something where it's not in there. But how do you, I'm particularly curious, this is very personal for me and my family, for how you deal with like a girl who comes into the space who is actively in that interaction with social media, with anxiety, with technology. And it probably has to do with your curriculum, with the elements and resourcing, but I'm curious about your perspective and just like talk to an anxious mom about it.
Yeah, I mean, wait until eighth. You know, I would challenge that to be wait until 12th for social media. It's like their brains are not fully developed. And, you know, they're still not fully developed by 12th grade. And I totally get that there is a sense of belonging and a sense of connection through the cell phone. And we want to provide opportunities for them to have real connection. I don't believe that a social media connection is like real, true, authentic, satisfying, nourishing connection. Yes. And the speed at which, like right now it's all Snapchat, you know, they're not even using Instagram. And the impermanence, the lack of accountability, and the lack of any censorship is really disturbing to me. Yeah. And I'm pretty blessed in that I work with girls that are predominantly homeschooled or alternatively educated. I have plenty of public school kids, Waldorf kids, and they're getting cell phones a lot later than I think the dominant culture is. But, you know, I would say that I'm still seeing the pressures that they are experiencing in social media, and we're just having conversations, you know. I can't change any of their experiences, but I can offer a space for us to share. And there are really inappropriate things happening that I would never want any child to see or like be in contact with. And so my hope is that parents really empower themselves and, you know, start taking more and more censorship responsibilities and more rules. Like, I remember one of my older girls groups, they were in high school, and they shared that, you know, one of them had had their cell phone taken away from their mom, by their mom. And she, I think it was taken away for 2 weeks. And she goes, you know what? I'm actually totally relieved. She goes, but I would never tell my mom that. And I thought, fascinating. Like, they actually like the break. And they're not going to admit it because they do want that connection. It's what is connecting the generation. But there's also like a real need, and they are incapable of taking care of that need with the prefrontal cortex and everything that is going on in their brain. And so it's our responsibility as caregivers to really do fierce boundaries.
Yeah. Oh, I feel a lot of grief from what you just shared before the awesome story about the girl who felt relief. But I'm wondering if there ever, after any circles or sessions, that you two feel like grief or, yeah, just like a heaviness around it. I think since having a child, like there's more of a permeability to my heart. And I wonder, like, you've been working with girls for so long and you probably hear all sorts of things and you're holding space for all sorts of truths. And I'm just wondering personally how that is for you.
Thanks for that question. Yeah, I think I experienced the whole gamut of emotions working with the girls. And, you know, part of my modeling that I deeply believe in, which is also rooted in my Waldorf training, is modeling to the girls imperfection and modeling to them my human experience that, you know what, I am grumpy today. I have a short fuse, and I just want you to know that. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's just what it is. And, you know, I've shared my grief in that way, too, in a really authentic way. And, you know, I think, like, if we can just model to them having authentic experiences, like, that is such good medicine. It's such, our tears are watering the seeds that we are planting in them. And, you know, I am heartbroken over the state of the world. Our youth are being raised in such a complex time, and it's only getting more and more complex. And so this is partly why I'm creating this girls group facilitator training, because, you know, I just want to focus on the relationships that I have with the girls. I don't want to keep having more and more and more circles. I want to deepen with these ones and be a part of their lives for as long as it's right relationship. But we need these circles. We need them for all genders. Like, we really, like, it is such an anecdote to the time. And I just deeply believe in the power of circling, the power of connection, and just want to see more and more of these happening for the youth so that they can be supported.
Yes, I really feel your heart in that mission. And I'm with you in that work of more and more circles around the world. I would love to talk about ritual and ceremony with girls. I'm just endlessly drawn to ritual and ceremony work. I have participated in and helped lead and have guided many, many people in a returning to their menstrual rite. I mean, I have literally been on a hill in Ireland with our friend Sophia, actually, with like Northern Irish women in their 70s, like performing, you know, a menstrual rite reclamation for, you know, the time they got their menstruation. And it was just like so poorly met, which is like one way of trying to repair. And I'm excited to talk to someone who's meeting girls in that moment of their first blood. And a side story I just want to say is there's a gathering of women in Oregon every year called Spirit Weavers, where I got to attend a girls' circle and share like my first moon blood story and also share hot tips on how to get blood out of sheets and clothing. And I remember they're like, thank you so much for telling us that. And they went around the circle asking, what do you want as a part of a celebration when you get your first blood? And most of them said, for my mom not to make a big deal out of it. And I really thought, oh, okay. So I ask how, I would love to know how you work with meeting that first bleeding and helping them understand the impact with this tender understanding of that perspective, which I have no doubt you hear, which is like, don't make a big deal, and what's behind that and how you work with that.
Yeah, well, you know, I've heard that so many times as well. And so I think it really comes back to creating the culture that we want to see and having the conversations and really watering those seeds again. And, you know, I start very lightly normalizing the conversation with my girls starting in like fourth grade, fifth grade. And there's also you know, the reality is girls are getting their cycle earlier and earlier. You know, I have 9-year-olds that are cycling. And so I've started teaching this earlier and earlier, actually. And, you know, it's like bringing the imagination, like, you know, I teach through story, and like that allows our imagination to go where it needs to go for us. And so creating stories and imagining into the days of the red tent and how, you know, this was what women did, and it was celebrated and honored, and that it's our birthright. And sadly, because of what has happened, you know, to women and our sacred rights over the years, we've lost so much of that. And, you know, it's like some girls are just like, they know they want it, and some girls are a no, and some are somewhere in between. And I will say that, like, once one happens in a group or let's say like a class, it really helps to normalize it. And so if you can find that one, yes, and really support that and bring in the younger generations, like, that starts to normalize this experience. Like, we're up against so much that is telling us not to do this. And so, you know, I start with story, and I start with teaching about our cycle in a, like, archetypal way. You know, the different archetypes of the feminine that we go through every month in our cycle. Did I answer your question?
Yes. I have a follow-up, which is, do you do ritual and ceremony with the girls, like, in your group, or do you have them do it privately? I'm always curious about ritual design and ritual implementation. Like, what does it look like?
So I introduce ceremony and ritual in my girls' groups, and, you know, it's through the elemental curriculum that we start to grow our capacity for ceremony. Because, I mean, 10-year-old girls, it's like, we really want everything to be age appropriate, and, you know, they're not going to sit in a 2-hour ceremony, let's just be honest. And so it's like, we're just growing capacity, so that when their time comes, they really can sit in a 2-hour ceremony, if that's, you know, what's happening. And so ritual is just a part of every single group, the way we open, the way we close, like, that is the practice of ritual. And so when it comes to, you know, menstrual ceremonies, I meet with the mother and the daughter, and we dream into what a ceremony might look like. And I have a little free workshop on this right now available on my website if anybody's interested in really diving deeper into this conversation. But it, to me, it's like, it really, the girl needs to be invested in her own ceremony. If we look at traditional rites of passage, it is, there's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of engagement. Yeah. And, you know, that is something that I struggle with my girls. It's like, how to really get them deeply invested in this and really putting effort and time and resources into this ceremony. And so, you know, they decide who are the people that they want there, who are the people that have been a part of their life, and who are the people they want to be supporting them through their days into womanhood. And so every ceremony I've done has looked totally different. You know, there's been just 3 of us, and there's been like 25 of us before in these circles. They've been on top of mountains, and they've been inside moon lodges. And so I love the creative process of getting to design it with the mom and with the daughter. And, you know, how I always talk about ceremony is, we leave room for mystery and for magic to enter. And, you know, I also believe in the masculine, really, like, the father or whatever the second primary caregiver is to, like, honor in their own way. And so I'll talk to them as well and really support them in finding their authentic expression of whether it's, you know, arm in arm bringing their daughter to the entrance of the Moon Lodge, or being there when she leaves with flowers, you know, whatever is, you know, how they want to show up. I love I deeply believe in having the support from all sides.
Well, I could just sob thinking about that. That's just so, how gratifying in the realm of like your work and your purpose to be helping support that. Like, oh, take my breath away. How incredible.
Yeah, it's, it feels like, you know, a radical act to be bringing back something that is our birthright and we don't have the maps for. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'll just be totally honest. In my first moon ceremony, I left it and I felt deep grief. And I yes. felt like, who am I to be doing this? I was yeah. like, I am not the person. I don't know how to do this. I don't have the maps. I can't do it. And I swore I was never going to do one again. And then my girls started cycling and I realized like, oh my gosh, who is going to do this if I don't like find the resilience and attune my listening? Like who will hold these ceremonies? And so that is really what has guided me in holding these ceremonies for the girls as they start cycling, because there isn't somebody else that I know of in my community offering this. And I feel like, okay, I'm going to do what I can. And yeah. it's going to be imperfect. And, you know, I really, really wish I had a map. yeah. And I don't. And that is, you know, it's really heartbreaking. And it's liberating too, because it's like, oh, this is modern era rites of passage. Like we look yeah. to the past and we learn about traditions and we learn the intention behind them, but we also get to look forward and carve a new path.
Thank you for saying that. I'm just highlighting, underlying, bolding all of that. I can really relate to that deep grief, like leading a ritual and feeling all of that come through. And then the grief that comes from, you know, the ones who were burned, you know, the colonizers we are descended from, like just the way history panned out. And here we are alive in this moment with these abilities, and it's complex. And I have so many people come to me being like, I just want a women's circle and they're not here. And where is the village? And I'm so grief stricken about the village being gone. And I say, you're meant to create it. That's the time we're in, right? Is like, we have these abilities. We have these freedoms, you know, obviously that depends on levels of privilege and where you live in the world. But I think you and I are sort of in that place where it is a grief, but the leadership and the stepping forward and the beauty comes from that grief. It's like born in the fire. And I just thank you for saying yes again and again to doing it and now sharing that with others, because I'm like, okay, we need this in the Hudson Valley. Like we need this in every town, you know, with our girls. It's just so important. It's just so important.
Yes, I so hear you and agree with you. And I really believe that if we have enough matriarchal leaders, enough embodied, wholehearted wisdom keepers, which we all can be, it's like, yes, there's like always going to be more healing. And if we let that limit us, then we're never going to step into sharing our gifts. And so like that's what I really want to support women in doing, is sharing their gifts that they were born with and that they've spent a lifetime cultivating with the next generation. Because I think it's a really powerful, perhaps the most powerful place to be sharing our gifts, is they are the future leaders of the world. And I believe that how we as women share with them is how we're going to move into a post-patriarchal society.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I am with you. Johanna, thank you so much for this conversation. We will link in the show notes on my website, belongingpodcast.com, to your facilitator training. When does that open?
So there's going to be a matriarchal leadership free, like, live webinar at the end of May that folks can get a taste of how I work, and would love to have you women there. And then the doors to my training will open in June. And the training actually starts fall equinox and will run till summer solstice.
Ah, beautiful. I love that spaciousness. That feels very nice, so people can plan for it. So we will link to both of those things, because I saw you had a wait list up. I peeped it. So we'll link to both of those things in the show notes, or you can find Johanna. What is your website? Say, if we can say it out loud, in case people just want to run to their phones now.
Yeah, it is wakefulnature.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing everything. I am just can be quite nosy, and I appreciate people who can answer all my questions. Honestly, I really appreciate your time. So thank you, Johanna.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's so sweet to be here with you and feel such kinship with your work.
Thank you so much for listening. In a time when our attention is being pulled in so many directions, I feel honored you chose to devote some of yours here with me. If you want to check out show notes or listen to past episodes, go to belongingpodcast.com. And if you like what we talk about here and want to know more, you can subscribe to my newsletter at beccapiastrelli.com. I'll be with you again soon.